growing up in Lafayette, just a little south of a little town called Battleground, you grow familiar with the story of the Battle of Tecumseh, or the Battle of Tippecanoe. It's a historic battle, and the story behind it was in 1811, and the Native Americans in Indiana and throughout the Midwest were growing restless with the settlers who were coming in and taking over their land. And so among them was the great leader, Tecumseh. And he realized if the Native Americans were to have any strength, any power, they needed to band together and work together for their cause. And so Tecumseh did just that. He organized many tribes to come and work together. He himself was a Shawnee, but he got the Miami, the Weah, the Napatawny, and many other tribes to work together and to form a confederation. And he was very successful, so much so that it made the national government uneasy. And so they sent then-Governor William Henry Harrison, later president, out to address the problem. And did so up at, there was a town called Prophetstown where they were meeting and they were storing up their goods and their food for the winter and planning what they might do. Well, when William Henry Harrison showed up, actually Tecumseh was away. He was down south trying to get more tribes and greater strength for his cause. But when he arrived, who was there was the brother of Tecumseh. They call him the Prophet. And the Prophet was not, like his brother, a great military leader, but he was a spiritual leader. And he chose this occasion to attack. Problem was, the federal troops greatly outnumbered the tribe, the Native Americans, and they were much better armed. And so he needed to get them to have courage and faith in their cause and to attack. And he had a plan. The plan was to offer them a promise that victory was inevitable and it would come without cost. Because he assured them, he said that he could cast a spell over the soldiers' weapons so that their bullets would fall harmless to the ground and that no Native American would be harmed. And it worked. He said that he would dance and chant on this rock, and as long as he was doing so, they would be free from harm. And as I said, it worked, and he bolstered the troops, and they attacked. And it was a success at first. You see, they caught the American soldiers unaware and asleep, and they were winning the battle. But there came a point in that battle where things turned, and it turned very quickly. It was because when the American soldiers woke up and started to fire back, they started to kill some of the Native Americans. And with that, they realized that the Prophet had lied to them, that the bullets were not harmless. And with that, they lost hope, and discouraged, they ended up ultimately losing the battle. Now, I saw it was quite ironic that the one thing that got them to fight was the one thing that also undermined them. And it was this lie. I think about that when I read and I reflect on our gospel passage today. And I realize it's quite different. Here too, Christ is going into battle. He's on his way to Jerusalem. He's going to fight that final battle. And he in turn, however, is being very successful. We're told by Luke that great crowds were following him. But unlike the Prophet, he doesn't try to bolster that crowd. He doesn't try to get more people on his bandwagon. Rather, instead, he turns to them and he challenges them. And he challenges them. He doesn't promise them that this will be without cost. Rather, he says, if you're not willing, if you do not hate your mother and your father, your brother, your sister, your spouse, and your children, even your very life, you're not worthy. Now, this sounds especially harsh, and it's partly because of the translation. The translation is probably better, more clear in Matthew's version of that, where Matthew says, if you love your father or mother or brother or sister or spouse or children more than you love me, then you are not worthy. That's what the hate means. It means, it doesn't mean you despise and detest. Rather, it means that you don't prefer them over, that you don't love them more. And so that's what Jesus is saying. If you love anybody more than you love me and your Heavenly Father, you can't be my disciple. He goes on further and says, unless you're willing to take up your cross daily, unless you're willing to sacrifice, unless you're willing to work at it, you can't be my disciple. And finally he says, unless you're willing to forsake everything, to give up everything on here on earth, you're not able to be my disciple. It's harsh. But he wants us to know, he wants us to be clear. As he said, he doesn't want us to lay the foundation, build half a tower, only to find out we can't finish. He doesn't want us to go into battle, only to realize we're not fully committed, that we will fail. And so he tells us and he warns us. That's part of the difference. But the greatest difference in this story is that unlike the prophet, he's not going to be dancing and chanting somewhere off on a rock. Right? In this case, Christ is leading us into battle. Christ doesn't ask anything of us that he himself will not give. And so, we will not go in alone. Christ is there beside us. And so, he invites us and encourages us to be willing, to know, to go in with our eyes open, and be willing to fight this battle beside him.